On Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Toshma. And you'll see this 5 lines down from the top of the Amud. We're discussing the question of Kinyan Agav and whether it requires Tziburin, that the Metaltalin are there on the Karka. Toshma, Tiyomar Rava Bar Yitzhak Amarav, Shnei Shtaros Hain. There are two distinct categories of Shtaros. There are two ways that a mocher can give a shtar to the lokeach. One case is a man instructs Edim, Zichu besada zu leploni. In other words, I'm asking you to make a kinyan chazaka on behalf of so-and-so. In other words, I want to be machdis something to him, and I'm asking you to make a kinyan chazaka on his behalf. V'kisvulo es hashtar. And write up a shtar as a shtar raya for this kinyan. And that's exactly what they did. They made a chazaka on the karka for so-and-so. And now the mocher, the makne, decides that he wants to change his mind. He wants to reverse his decision to sell the karka. Or, alternatively, he changed his mind and he doesn't want to write the shtar. He wants to rescind his approval to have this document written up. So the halach in this case is chozer b'shtar v'yeinu chozer b'sada. He has a right to withdraw his approval to write the shtar as a shtar raya, and the eidim can no longer write the shtar, but v'yeinu chozer b'sada, He cannot rescind and revoke the kinyan on the sada, and the reason for that is because the edim already made a kinyan chazak, and at that point, the lokeach or the mekabel received the sada and made a full-fledged kinyan. That kinyan is irrevocable. Now we have a second category or scenario of shtar. He says to the Edim, Zechu besada ploni al minas shetichtavu lo sashtar. In other words, the kinyan is a kinyan bitnai, and the condition that has to be fulfilled is that they write a shtar. In such a case, chozer, bein bishtar, bein besada, the makna can decide that he wants to withdraw not only from the shtar, but even from the kinyan on the sada. He wants to revoke the original Nesina, and that he can do because since the shtar was not handed over to the Kone, therefore the Kinyan itself wasn't Chal in so far as the shtar was a Tanai in the Kinyan. Rabbi Chiyo Bar Ovin Omar Rav Huna, and we have to make note of the shame Rav Huna here, Shlosha Shtar, so he wants to add a third category, Trey Hadamar, and two we've already mentioned, Idoch a third. And that is im kadam mocher v'kosav lo sashtar. If the mocher had the shtar written up on behalf of the buyer, on behalf of the lokeach, no kinyan was made as of yet. No kinyan kesef, no kinyan chazaka. Ke'osa sheshaninu. And here the Gemara quotes a Mishnah Bava Basra, Kosvin Shtar Lemocher Afal Pi She'em Lokeach Imo. It's permissible for Edom to write up a shtar before the kinyan is made, so that the mocher will be equipped with a shtar, and he can give over the shtar as a Maisa kinyan immediately, without delay. And we don't say that since the date on the shtar will now be predated to the actual Maisa kinyan, that the shtar itself is a muktam, and therefore it's disqualified. But rather, kosvin shtar lemocher afal pi she'en lo karech imo. And then the Mishnah continues and says that if such a shtar was written up before the kinyan, kevan shehichzik imo bekarka nikne hashtar b'chol mokum shehu. Once the lokeach makes a kinyan on the karka, let's say, for example, he makes a kinyan chazaka, then he automatically has a kinyan on the shtar. The shtar is nikne to him. Agav karka. Shmami no, the Gemara wants to derive from Rav Huna, lo be'inon tziburin ba. The shtar is not sitting on the karka. Nevertheless, the lokeach acquires ownership on the shtar by being kona the karka. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. Shiny shtar is different. The afsira, the arahu. Afsira is the rein. So in other words, there's a direct connection here, just like there's a connection between the reins on the animal and the animal itself, because that's how you lead the animal. So too, the karka is almost like a rein. You know, it's kind of like a handle connected to the shtar. The shtar is now connected to the karka. And this is a special halacha. In other words, in general, you need siburin, but the exception to that rule is the case of a shtar. Since the shtar is being written as a proof for the kinyan hakarka, it becomes al pidin like the guf hakarka, and therefore you don't need sibur ba. In other words, you see clearly that the Gemara is requiring sibur because what's the connection in aga between the kinyan made on the karka and the kinyan made on the metaltel? There's got to be some mitzaref to join them together. And that's tziburin. So the Gemara says, in the case of shtar, you don't need that mitzaref. By definition, the rayas ha-shtar and the content of the shtar is connected to the karka, and therefore you don't need tziburin. Perhaps we could go even a step further and say that normal kinyana means I have to be kona the guf ha-davar. And in the case of shtar, I don't have to make a kinyan on the shtar per se. I need a kinyan on the rayas ha-shtar. And once the shtar was written up as a shtar raya with the das ha-mischayev, then the shtar raya and its in the shtar, that itself causes and generates the kinyan on behalf of the makabalas ha-shtar. The Gemara says that we don't accept this rejection of the proof. V'ha alok tani, because with regard to this halacha of a shtar that was niknag of karka, we have the statement of Huna. We started with the statement of Huna, but we didn't complete the statement. He sheshaninu Rav Huna says nechasim shein lemachrais niknim nechasim shein lemachrais bekesef shtar uchazaka. It means that Rav Huna, in order to prove this third category of a shtar, the shtar that's nikneh, agav karka, he quotes our Mishnah, Shma mino delo beinan tzibura. He doesn't see the haknas hashtar as a separate, unique halacha, an exception to the rule. He derives it, in fact, from the general rule written in our Mishnah of kinyan agav. And therefore, we go back to our proof to the same extent that with regard to shtar, you don't need silver or karka. And wherever the shtar is, it's nikdag of karka. The same halach, the same rule applies to metaltelin. Wherever the metaltelin is, the nikdag of karka, shma mina. And this itself is a final proof. And the Gemara assumes now that you do not need siburin for a kinyan agav. Iboilahu, the Gemara wants to know, mi be'inan agav olo. The Gemara wants to know, do we need a statement, an explicit statement coming out of the mouth of the mocher to the lokeach, in which he tells him, I want you to be kona the karka and be kona the metaltelim agav the karka. Olo, well, you don't need such a thing. The kinyan on the metaltelim will be chal even without an explicit amira. We have a long discussion earlier in Masechta Kiddushin about amira in Kiddushin. It's not enough to just give her kesef, you have to specify the kesef is being given for the sake of kiddushin. Here too, it's not enough just to have a das machna on the metaltelin, you also need an amira. Toshma de katani, we have in the Mishnah, kolhani, we have all the cases in the Mishnais and the Brisas, all the statements that we brought in our sugya, the lo katani, and not in any single Mishnah or Brisa or statement in the Amora does it say that he explicitly has to speak out that he's being mocked in the metaltelin agav karka. Ule taimech, wait a minute. You want to be very careful and see what was left out of the Mishnayos, out of the Brises. Is knei miktani? The word knei was left out. Certainly, at the very minimum, the mocher has to say to the lokeach, knei es ha-metaltelin, make a kinyan on the metaltelin. And there's no doubt that in the absence of such a statement, there's no kinyan on the metaltolin, because it's not enough dvarim shebelev lo avi dvarim. He certainly, the mocher, the makna, certainly has to indicate with a verbal declaration that he wants to be makna. Ella, and therefore, we want to say the following. If you're going to add to all the mishnayos and all the brises, ad diomer knei, even though it doesn't say so explicitly, hachinami, add ad diomer agav. And the Gemara says, Hilchasa, the final conclusion is Tziburin lo be'inon, but Agavu Kni be'inon. The Gemara makes the following distinction between the two Sfeikas that we had with regard to the requirement of Tziburin, that the Metalton have to be Tziburin on the Karka, that we don't require, we waive that requirement. But with regard to Agavu Kni, that the Machna, the Mocher, has to have an explicit, must make an explicit statement, Bikona the metaltlin agav kaka, that we do require. Iboilu, now we have another suffix. When a person gives a, let's say, a gift to his friend, and he wants to give him metaltlin as a gift, he wants to give those metaltlin agav karka, but the karka itself he wants to give as a mecher, he wants to do a hakna on the karka, not a metal and a matana. If it's a mecher in which he's going to be paid, sadeh b'mecher. Umetaltalim matonamau. Doesn't make a difference. Do we need a uniform classification or category of kinyan for both the karka and the metaltalim in order to achieve agav? How closely connected do the two kinyanim, one on karka and one on metaltalim, have to be? Do we require two matonos, one on the karka and one on the metaltalin, or alternatively two mechiros, one mechira on the karka and one on metaltalin, then and only then do we have this sishtavus, this shava v'shava, that therefore you can have a kenyan agav? Or can it be machne, for example, the karka as a mecher and the metaltalin as a maton agav karka? And you see clearly from this Gemara that in Hilchas Kinyonim, a mecher and a matona are two chaloisim. And if you learn Baba Basra, you'll see various differences in halacha between haknas mecher and haknas matana. Toshma, remember the case that we had before with the tanoim that had to be mafresh maser because they were far away from home and they were afraid that somebody might be nitkal in the iser tevel. So we had a case where Rav Gamliel made a declaration. He said, Isur, the Miser of the Perish, Shani Yosud Lamod, which I will be mafresh later on, Nosun Yoshua, because Yoshua is a Levi, Umekomo Muskarlo. So now what's going on over here? On the one hand, the Miser Peros, which is Metaltalin, is being given as a gift, because we're talking about Miser Oni, if you recall, on the third and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. On the other hand, the karka for this kinyan agav is being transferred over to Rabbi Yoshua through a kinyan schirus. And a kinyan schirus is like a kinyan karka. And what kind of kinyan karka is it? It's a kinyan karka in which Rabbi Yoshua, in this case, is paying some minimal amount for the schirus. Ishmaminah, you see that on the one hand, the kinyan on the karka was a mechira, it was a rental with money paid, but on the other hand, the metaltal, in this case the peiros meiser, were being given as an outright gift to the aniyim. Ishmaminah, we see from this that there doesn't have to be an exact uniform kinyan for both the karka and the metaltal. Iboilu, the next suffix is sada liyechon metaltal liyacher. Is it okay if I makna the sada to Ruvain and the metaltal to Shimon agav the karka? This is really the other extreme, and until now the Gemara has been looking for mitzarfim to link up and connect the metaltalin to the karka. You know, the Gemara wanted to say that you need siburin. The Gemara wanted to suggest that maybe it would have to be the same exact class or type of kinyan. And now the Gemara is going, in a sense, to the other polar extreme, that there's really no linkage whatsoever between Reuven, who's being Kona Karka, and Shimon, who's being Kona Metalta, and Agav the Karka that's being Nikna to Reuven. Toshma, the Gemara thinks it as a proof from the same story of Ram Gamliel, Isur Shani Yosid Lomod, Nasun Lakiva Ben Yosef, Akiva Ben Yosef. So I said before that the Maisa we were talking about is Maisa Oni. I think I said that because I mentioned the third and the sixth year. That's not the case of Yoshua. Yoshua was a Levi. That was Maisa Rishon. Now we're talking about Maisa Sheni. I stand corrected. And in Maisa Sheni, Rabbi Gamliel was Makna the Maisros to Rabbi Akiva, who was the Gabbai representing the Aniyim. And he declared, Isur, Nosan Lakiva, Kidei, Sheyizke Bo, and Landim, Umakomo Muskalo. The Makom, if you want to call it the Chatzer, in which the Meiser was located, was being now transferred over to Akiva, whereas the payrolls on the Chatzer are being transferred over to the Aniyim. So you see quite clearly that you could be Makne, the Karka, to one person, and the Metatlin to someone else. The Gemara says that's not a proof. My muskar muskil amaiser. The Gemara gives two arguments to reject this proof. The first argument is that the word muskar, when it says makomo muskilo, what it means is muskil amaiser. In other words, when Rabbi Akiva pays for the schirus to Rabbi Gamliel, he transfers over some money. And the reason for that is because he wants to have the makom schiris for the sake of the aniyim. It's now an isur, and the makom is niknin liechad, meaning the kabbalas kesef from Rabbi Akiva over to Rabbi Yishmael was so that the makom would be muskar to the aniyim. So both the makom as a chatzar and the peros agav the karka are both going to and being transferred to the Aniyim. So it's not to one person or the other. It wasn't that Rabbi Akiva was the one who by giving the money was renting. He was the renter. No, he was doing that on behalf of the Aniyim just as well as he was being Kona the Maaser on behalf of the Aniyim. So everything was going to the Aniyim, the Karka and the Metaltalin. Yiboyisem, I have another possible rejection, a refutation of this proof. Shiny Rabbi Akiva, the Yad Aniyim Hava. Insofar as Rabbi Akiva was the Gabbai for the Aniyim, then he can be Kona the Maaser himself. It's like if I want to get money in a check over to Reuven, I can give you Shimon the check, you put it in your account, and then you'll pay it from your account over to Reuven. Same thing happens here. The payers actually go directly into the account of Rabbi Akiva. But his status is that of the Gabbai of the Aniyim, and therefore, although the money goes from Rabbi Gamliel in this case directly into, and when I talk about the money, I'm talking about the Paris Meiser, it goes directly into the account of Rabbi Akiva. And that's a special halacha. We have a similar halacha in many sugis and shas called the apotropis of the Yesomim. He's considered the Yad of the Yesomim. And in a certain sense, what we're doing is we're sort of synthesizing the Yad of Rabbi Akiva with the Yad of the Aniyim in such a way that we don't see this as two separate konim. You know, there's one kona on the karka, one kona on the metaltalin. Rabbi Akiva is being kona both the karka and the metaltalin insofar as he represents the Aniyim. Amar Rava. So now I just want to point out that with regard to this suffix as to where the Kinyan Agav works, where the Karka is going to Reuven and the Metaltalin to Shimon, the Gemara comes to no final decision. And therefore, in such a case, it would be a suffix Mamon. We could not therefore force the Machna to cough up the Metaltalin because he can always claim that there was no Kinyan on the Metaltalin, that the Kinyan Agav is invalid. But here we have a Shitas Rambam. Namely, that in cases of Sofek Mamon, Tfisa is meaningful, which means that if, let's say, Reuven was machna his karka to Shimon, Shimon made a kinyan on the karka, that's irreversible. He was machna metaltalin on the karka to Levi. Then in such a case, if Levi grabs onto the metaltalin, according to the Shitas HaRamav at least, that tfisa would be meaningful because we can't be motzi momen b'sofek. Now, it could be that in this case, there's a whole discussion here in the Meiri about this, that even if you argue with the Rambam, and you hold that in general, in a case of a Suffolk, Tfisa would not work, but it could be even those Shitas would agree to the Rambam in this particular case, because what we have here is a Suffolk that is a Suffolk in Din, you know, it's a halachic Suffolk, and the hachra, the suffik, really depends upon the raya that the Gemara brings from the story of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara thinks it's a good raya, but the Gemara refutes the raya, but still, nevertheless, the very fact that the Gemara tried to prove it, that means that, in this case, Levi, if he's holding on to these metaltalin, he could claim that Enochinami da'alocha is in that way. You know, kilu kimli, I know what da'alocha is, what hachra is. And therefore, Tfisa would work. Rava now comes and introduces a new halacha with regard to Kinyan Agav. Omar Rava, Lo Shanu, when do we assume that Kinyan Agav is a valid Kinyan on the Metaltan Agav Karak Elishan Nosan? You have to add a very important condition. Demei Kulon, the buyer gave over to the Mocher the monies for both metaltalin and karka. Av lo nasan dmei kulon, if he hasn't paid up yet, lo kana ela keneged ma'osav. Let's say the karka was worth 100, or let's say the metaltalin were worth 100, and the lokech only paid 50, so he can only make a kinyan on half of the metaltalin. He's paid the value of half of the metaltalin. And the Gemara is going to prove this. Tanya Kavose de Rava. We have a proof from a Braisa to support Rava's conclusion that he's only Kona Keneged Ma'osav. And I just wanted to point out to you that the Chiddush here of Rava is that Agav is not like a classical kinyan of metaltalin. Normally, if you make a kinyan on the metaltalin itself, themselves, you don't need to give the damim, the dmei damim, al kulam. But agav is a little bit of an inferior kind of kinyan on the metaltalin because it was never a kinyan that was made, a maisa kinyan on the gufa shel metaltalin. And therefore, unless he pays damim for the entire value of the sale of the metaltalin, his kinyan is impaired. So this is indicative of the fact that the kinyan on metaltalin, so far as it's not a kinyan yad, but gufash on metaltalin, is an inferior kinyan. It doesn't have the same potency, the same power as a kinyan yad, as a kinyan meshicha on metaltalin. And what does the Braisa say? And how does it prove Rava? Yofa koach hakesef mikoach hashtar, v'koach hashtar mikoach hakesef. There's some power that in kesef that supersedes that of shtar, and vice versa. Yofa koach hakesef, shash kesef, podimbo, hegdesh, maisosheni. When you have Hegdesh, we're talking about Kedushas Domi, not Kedushas Mizbeach. You could be poda the Hegdesh onto Mos, onto Kesef. If you have Maisa Sheni, and it's impossible for you to schlep all the Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim, then you poda it on Kesef. Mashenke Shtar, you cannot be poda neither Hegdesh nor Maisa Sheni onto a Shtar. Yofakoch a Shtar. But Shtar has a superior Kenyan power. Shashtar motzi bebas Yisrael. Shtar is a get. Mashen ken kesef. A man cannot give kesef to his wife and effectuate gerushin. V'yofakach shneim. If we combine kesef and shtar, they have a superior power. Mikoach hazaka. On the other hand, the koach chazaka mikoch shneim, chazaka in certain sense, has a greater scope or radius than kesef and shtar. Yofa koch shneim. What is the superior status of kesef and shtar shneim konen v'eved ivri? In the case of eved ivri, you could be kone the eved by two methods, either kesef or shtar. Masha'enkin b'chazok, you make a chazok in Eved Ivri, that is not effective. Chazok is only effective on Eved Knani. Yofa koach chazoka, but chazok has a specific power that makes it superior to that of Kesef and Shtar. Shechazoka mochal lo eser sodos b'yeser medinos kevin shehitzik b'achas me'en kona kulon. I can sell you 10 pieces of real estate that are located in 10 different cities in the world. And all you have to do as a kone is implement a chazaka on one particular piece of real estate and you kone all 10. Okay, and then that doesn't work by kesef and that doesn't work by shtar. In kesef and shtar, you have to make a specific kinyan on every single sada. Kesef, we'll see about kesef and shtar in a second. But b'medvar mamurim, when can you make a chazok on one sada and be kona all 10 sados, even though they're all over the place, they're scattered throughout the world? Kishen nosan lo dmei kulon, the lokeach paid up the value of all these sados, all these pieces of real estate. Aval lo nosan lo dmei kulon, if he hasn't paid up, lo kona ela kineged ma'osav. The kinyan is only effective on the value of the dam he paid commensurate to the karka. So if you have 10 pieces of karka, each of which is worth 100, and he only gave 100, he's kona one field. If he gave 500, he's kona five fields. And this price is a support text for Rava, because just like in kinyan chazaka, which is done on separate sados that are, as we said before, scattered throughout the world, the kinyan is only chal keneged adamim. So too, in a case of a kinyan chazaka that was done b'karka, in order to be kona metaltan agav b'karka, even though the metaltan are separate from the chazaka, like the 10 fields that are separate, is ena kinyan moil, the kinyan is not effective except keneged adamim. And that is a raya for Rava. The Gemara now wants to use this very same braisa as a proof for Shmuel. Misayel el Shmuel, the Omar Shmuel, mochal lo eser sodos b'eser medinos kevin shehichzik biachas mehen kona es kulon. Shmuel himself formulated this halacha that you can sell 10 fields that are located scattered throughout the world in 10 different countries, and yet once the kona makes a kinyan chazok on one of the fields, he's kona all the other fields. He doesn't have to make a kinyan chazok. He doesn't have to single out a chazaka for each one of the fields. Omar Rav Acha Bered Rav Ika Teda. I want to prove to you that that's what Shmuel holds. Sheilu Masar Lo Eser Behemas Biafsar Echa V'Omale Kni Milo Kani. We see clearly that this braisa is a support for Shmuel, because if, for example, the mocher would say to the kona, I want to give you 10 animals, and they're all tied together with reins, and then he says, Kni, Milo Kani, this is a rhetorical question, wouldn't it be true that the kona, even though there was a mesira on one animal, would be kona all 10 animals, and the same thing should apply with regard to kinyan chazaka in 10 fields. The Gemara says that that's not really an accurate analogy. Amru le, they told Rav Acha, mi dami, hasam in the case of Eser Behemos, yeah. There's what we call an igud biyado. Igudo biyado means that if the lokeach is holding on to this afsar, to these reins, then he has really, with these reins, he can easily be be moshech all 10 animals that are connected together with this one, with this one afsar. Hacha, but here in 10 sados, any gudu biyado, he's not holding on to something that could serve as a handle for all the other 10 sados. Each sada is separate unto itself, and therefore in the case of sada is not similar at all to the case of behemoth. You can't derive any conclusions about sada from behemoth. Ika diamri, the Gemara has a slightly different formulation, a different tradition of exactly what Rav Acha was saying. And according to this second Lishna, Omar Rav Acha Bered Rav Ika Teda Delokani, I want to prove to you that, again Shmuel, that there is no kinyan on all 10 sodas with a chazak on one. Ilu masalo eser behemos biafser echa viomelo zukni mikani. If he tells him, make a kinyan on one of the behemoths with a kona, therefore acquire ownership on all 10 behemos, it would seem that he would only make a kinyan on this one. And therefore, in the case of kona eses sados, if he only made a chazok on one sada, which is separate from the others, then it's ki'ilu yiched l'kinyan zubilvat. In other words, when the Machna says, go make a kinyan, go make a chazok on this field, it's almost as if he's excluding the other 9 fields. The Gemara says, no, me dummy, that's not correct. Hasam, in the case of behemos, they're gufim mechulakim. And therefore, when he says, k'nei behemos zu, he's excluding the other 9. But hacha, here in the case of someone who sells 10 fields in 10 different countries, sadna di'ara chadhu, We view all the sados, even though they're scattered throughout the globe, as if they were one continuous gush aretz, one land, because the entire earth is really the foundation for all the sados. And all the sados can be viewed as one goof. But that's not so in the case of behemos. Each one is separate, and therefore if he says k'nei zu, he's coming to exclude the others. We learned in that Mishnah, v'zokikin esanachosim, what you could do is zokim metaltalin if you have a tvia on metaltalin, and therefore you machayev the nitba a shvua. You can force him to take a shvua even on karka, even though the tvia on a karka is not machayev a shvua, but it's not the karka's mufka from a chalot shvua. It's just that the tvi is not machayev a shvua on the karka. But now that you have a tvi machayevis on the metaltalin, you could be megalgil, you could roll that chiv shvua onto and to include even the karka. Omar ula minayin le gilgul shvua minat Torah. What's the source in the Torah for this halach of gilgul shvua? Now we're going to go into the sugya of sota. The parasha in Noso of Sotim Bamidbar Hei tells us that after the Kohen, In the process of Hashkas HaSota, he curses her and he imposes a shvua on her that she didn't do any, she wasn't guilty of any adulterous crime. And then it says, V'omra Isha Amen, Amen. She says Amen twice. She accepts upon herself the whammy and the oath that the Kohen was Mashbia her, was Makal her. Utnan in the Mishnah Masechta Sota tries to understand, what is this double language of Amen V'Amen? Al Mahi Omeres Amen V'Amen? On what 2 dimensions of the proclamation of the Kohen is she responding Amen Amen, accepting them? And the answer is Amen Al Ha'ola Amen Al Ha'Shvua. There's a klola, a curse that the Kohen imposes on her. Sheyitein Hashem Es Yirecha Nofeles Ves Bitna Tzava. And Amin al Shvua, the Kohen is Mashbiya or Shvua, that she didn't commit adultery. So she has a double Amin, one for the Klola, one for the Shvua. And the Mishnah goes on and says that the double language of Amin reflects the following. Amin im me'ish zeh, Amin im me'ish acher. Meaning that he can be megalgal the shvua, the Baal, and say, although I only gave you kinui on one person, suspecting you after you did the stira of znus with that person, I want to make sure you didn't have znus with some other person. And then, amen shalosa sisi arusa, In other words, she has to also take a shvua on a time period in which she was an arusa, because again, an arusa is an eshes ish with the same chumra of znus, v'nesua, amen, that I wasn't mezana after nesuin, v'shomeres yavan, and amen on the fact that I didn't have znus before the yibum was consummated, uknusa, or after the yibum was consummated. And the Gemara is going to analyze this case of arusa. What does it mean that shalosa sisi arusa, that I didn't commit any adultery while I was in the state of an arusa? Hi arusa hechidami. What exactly is the situation of an arusa? Ilem de kanile kishehi arusa become mashki lake she arusa. If he gave her a kinui, and he says, don't go into a private place, he said that to her while she was in arusa. And then now he's taking, after there are eidim that testify that she violated the kinui and she went into a private place with that one, that's called stira. Now he brings her to be mashke her, that happens in Yerushalayim. And when is he doing that? Kishi arusa. So everything took place, the kinui, the stira, and the hashko, when she's in arusa. That's impossible because for Tanam we have a mission in Sota, Arusa v'shomeres yomam, lo shosos. There isn't any possibility to be mashke an Arusa, and not only that, a shomeres yomam for that matter. So now we're in a situation where she violated kinui and stira, and now he cannot be mashke, so there's no way of clarifying whether in fact she had this adulterous illegal relationship or not. So the din is that he has to divorce her. Velo notlos ksuba. She doesn't have rights to ksuba in this divorce situation because in this case she was guilty of stira, even though he warned her with the kinui not to do the stira, she violated his warning, and therefore she forfeits her rights to ksuba. The Gemara asks, my timer, why is it that Arusa Shaveres Yomim Enom Shosos? The Pasuk says, V'at Kisatis Tachas Ishech. So that's Omar Achvona, that's what the Torah says there by Midbar Hei. And the Drosha is, what's Tachas Ishech? Tachas Ishech is only after Nesu'in. For Lekon here, it's not Tachas Ishech, it's an Arusa Shaveres Yomim. They're not considered Tachas Ish. Ella, so we have to, by elimination, we have to come up with another scenario here of Arusa. The Konile Kishihi Arusa V'nistera Kishi Arusa V'kama Mashkile Kishi Nesua. After Erisin, he gave her a kinui not to go alone with this man. She violated, while she was in Arusa, this kinui. She had stira. Now, he was Mashka her after the Nesua. Again, this wasn't such a kosher v'yosha situation from his perspective because, as we said before, since there was kinui stira during erusin, he's not allowed to marry her and have relations with her because she may be v'nitma, she may have had an illicit relationship and have violated his stira, his kinui. But in any event, in this scenario, he's coming to be mashka her when she's in a suah. So it's already considered tachas ishech. The Gemara says, no, in such a case, we don't go through the process of bedika, of hashka. Why? Mi badkile maya. Doesn't the pasuk say, v'nika ish me avon, amar achmona, and we darshan that the ish himself also has to be minuka me avon. Bizman sha'ish minuka me avon. He didn't have any relationship with her after stira. Because through the stira, an iser is generated, he's not allowed to have relations with her. Then, since he didn't have any relations, and he was menuka miyavon, he was clean of any sin, his mayin bodkim, then there is shtia, and the shtia sasota is bodek as ishto. But eino isha menuka miyavon, if he's guilty of having relations after stira, eino mayin bodkim as ishto. And here, in this case of Nasa, it was after the Kenyan stira of Erison, and he went ahead, and he was baleha. He's no longer menuka miyavon, and there's no ashka. So we're still stuck with the question of what does this mean? Amen. Shalosatisi arusa. Ella, the Gemara says, what is the shvua? It's al yedei gilgul. Even though in halachas of hashka, an arusa is mufka, she couldn't have, she's not tachas ishech. But nevertheless, once she's taking a shvua that she wasn't mizana post chupa, post nesuin, is we could be megalgal on her shvua that she didn't have znus during erusin. And this itself should be the source for Gilgul Shvua in Dine Mominus, that if you have a Shvua against a Nitba on Metalton, it can be Megalgul Shvua onto Karka. So the Gemara says, Ashkechan Sota De Isura Mamona Minolan, if there's a Din of Gilgul Shvua in Isurim, like in the case of Sota, to clarify that she didn't violate the Isur Znus during Erisin, but in Mammon. In other words, he wants to be a Galgal Shvua and a Tvias Karka. I mean, Nolan, how do you know that there is such a din of Gilgal Shvua? As the Gemara says, Tana Debei, Rabbi Yishmael, we learned in the base Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, Kal Vachomer, is Ma Sota. And here we're turning to Chesam and Aleph, Shelo Nitna, Li Tova B'Eid Echad. That in general, in the laws of Shvua, the requirements, the conditions to set up a Shvua in Sota are that much more demanding. You can't be Mashpia Sota on the basis of the testimony of one aid, you need two aidim. And yet, nevertheless, you can be Megalgal Shvua. Is in the case of Mammon, Shenita and Litova Beit Echad, if one witness supports the claim of the Tovea, then the Nitba has to take a Shvua to be Makrish the aid. Is Eino Din, how much more so? Shemegalgal, we could be Megalgal a Shvua onto the Nitba, and in this case from a Shvua Metalkalin over to a Shvua of on Karka.